With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Like classic fucking shareholders, right?
Yeah, that's it. Like, well, we want it faster. I literally knew it was going to take a while, so I cheated God and extended your lifespan. Like,
yeah,
exactly. What do you mean you want it faster?
Let me know when I'm hot.
You're hot.
I did Ethan's Canon. We're live.
You asked for a Canon. I gave you a Canon. Okay, I'm friggin' knocking this one out of the park. Call me Agent, setting you up. Agent 54321.
Good afternoon, 47. Your destination will be the weekly Lore Boys podcast recording session in Montreal, Canada. After flagrant disregard for important facts in Stardew Valley and having not covered Green Lantern or Vampire Hunter D yet, our client has asked that you eliminate the three hosts of the podcast. Your targets will be James Miller, the youngest of the three, a lover of retro games, real stories, and a man with a crippling addiction to MMOs. He can be found in his basement apartment or walking his female husky Ice at a nearby dog park. Next, you must take out Peter O'Donoghue, a self-taught mediocre cartoonist and exotic pet aficionado. The recent pandemic has made him rely entirely on his car, a Mazda 3, for transport. He can also be found making regular runs to a local corner store to buy cheap imported beer from Turkey. Finally, you need to take out the founder of the Lore Boys, Ethan Palmer. Ethan no longer lives in Montreal, but our client states he is coming to the city with his wife to meet with the other hosts and watch BattleBots. He too will be relying on a vehicle, but the poor weather may slow him down. All three boys in the same location is a rare opportunity for 47. Three hosts, three targets, one location. I'll leave you to prepare.
We don't stand a chance, guys.
No, we're fucked. And I hate how accurate that I'm either walking my dog or in my apartment. That's like 99% of my life for the last 2 years.
I mean, we were just off air talking about how excited you were to not have another place to go to during your week. So
yeah.
It's true. Yeah. And I am the youngest. I didn't even realize that. It's true.
Yeah, why do you think we call you Baby James? James. Aww. The big old baby. James shit in his pants, baby. Yeah. Change his diaper because Jimmy Piss Boy's got shit in his pants. That's what we always call you.
I put a diaper on for the show whether I need it or not. Yeah.
Well, you just never know.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I've never been in, I mean, that's not true anymore. I was gonna say I've never been in a car accident, but like I always click in the seatbelt, dude. Better safe than sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
You were in a car accident recently.
Jamie still makes us pause the podcast whenever he's got to make boom boom, but he doesn't.
I don't leave. I just sit like focus in my chair.
Yeah, we just have to watch him furrow his brow on Discord camera.
You can literally see my bathroom from.
I know. that's right, everybody. This week we'll be going over the Hitman series. This is a request, actually, that I really wanted to do because I love the newer games. This is a request from Shenanigans, I guess Weasel Enthusiast on our Discord. And of course, backed up once again, God King of Hype Men, Han Dolo. If you'd like to submit a request, head to loreboys.com/about or follow the link in this episode's description to get to our Discord. Also, hello and thank you very much to our newest patrons, SD. Like the card.
Basically the card.
AJ checks. So thank you both very much. I know you're both in Discord. Hello. Happy to have you.
Yeah.
So, fellas, what's your familiarity with Hitman?
I've played one game. I think it was Hitman 3.
When did
Hitman 3 come out?
The first Hitman 3 came out in like 2006.
I started a game and it was in Paris. And you had to like walk into a mansion or something, and you were outside in the front, and you're that bald guy. Like, do you remember which one that is?
That's the first. That is the first mission of the newest Hitman one from 2016. Yeah.
Okay, I tried that one, and like I got caught twice, and I was like, I really don't feel like sneaking around. I'd rather just play another game. So that's I know it's fun, but I was just too impatient to let it stick, kind of thing.
Yeah. So that's not the most recent one, but it's the first game in the most recent trilogy.
Okay.
That's me with every stealth game. It's like, why can't I just run in? Like, I just want to run in and shoot everybody all the time.
Yeah. I was watching Hitman 3 speed runs because like some streamers that I watch just like playing that game for whatever reason. And it was pretty interesting. And you can get going pretty fast if you know how every in and out of the game works, but before then, I guess not so much. But
yeah, I watched the NoClip documentary, which is like Danny O'Dwyer's series on YouTube, where he interviewed the people who make Hitman. They consider Hitman a puzzle game, which is why it is replayable. And once you kind of get the motions down, you can bust it wide open.
Right.
It is puzzle primarily, according to the people who make it. It's puzzle, not stealth.
So if I'm looking at your camera, I could probably kill you with the brick wall, maybe with something in the aquarium, maybe that lamp, I could like zap you or something.
Expose the wire while I'm changing my aquarium water.
Right. And then put it in and
boom.
There goes the axolotls too.
And me. Hopefully. Because you do get penalized on Hitman for non-target kills. So they would ruin your score.
Oh.
Axolotls don't have souls. So they wouldn't actually impact your score at all.
Okay. So I got to get all of them out first and then. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've always looked at Hitman, and again, I played one. I think we owned one on like PS3, maybe PS2. I don't know if that's even possible.
Yeah, the series started. It is a 22-year-old series, which I thought was fucking ridiculous. There are 7 games.
I always considered it a puzzle game, but there is a lot of like waiting to the puzzles, where it's like timing puzzles rather than. Like, oh, think it through and you'll be able to just like put the pieces together. It is like, oh, you kind of do have to like follow this guy, see his whole route, figure out where he goes and what he does, and then figure out when he goes to check the aquarium, and then you have to electrocute it just at the right time or whatever, right?
Yeah. So we will get into the actual main mechanic, because the main mechanic ends up being canonized, which is interesting. So let's not talk too much about it right now at the beginning. It's called social stealth, but we'll get into it later.
Okay, so electrocuting aquariums is a core mechanic that is canonized, what you're
absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely.
That's a mechanic I try to use, too, so I can stay in my basement social and play stuff. MMOs.
Yeah.
Maybe we do got a shot against this Agent 47, huh? Jamie can beat him in his own game.
So I knew about Hitman growing up. I had mentioned it earlier, like off air, basically, that my longest time friend Logan used to play Hitman Blood Money when we were younger. And he always told me how awesome it was. But I have never actually played or even seen footage from an old Hitman game. Never seen it in person.
Probably the same.
Or even on
same,
YouTube.
But the head's not quite as round back then.
Yeah, the like kind of pack of hot dogs wrinkles at the back of his neck don't really render as well when he's low poly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hitman is developed by IO Interactive in Denmark, and these guys have also made other things that you may have heard of, like Kane and Lynch.
Or they're Dutch.
Yeah, exactly.
they're Hollish, I believe, is what we're calling them now. Yeah.
Kane and Lynch and Mini Ninjas, which apparently is good. I've heard a lot about Mini Ninjas, and like people like in the interviews have asked them like, oh, when's the next Mini Ninjas? Like, cool, whatever. Primarily though, they've been responsible for Hitman. I think they've only made 3 other games. They made both Kane and Lynch's and then Mini Ninjas.
Cool.
IO was once with publisher Square Enix, but are unique kind of in the Western Square Enix corral, in that the Hitman didn't really change very much. So Square Enix bought a bunch of non-Asian developers and had them work on or revive older, highly respected franchises that they own the IP to now. That I think they got it through Eidos, basically. So like Deus Ex, Tomb Raider, and Thief. Deus Ex, which I love, ended up here in Montreal, but the new games are prequels. They have a completely new character, like new cast, new characters, except for one guy named Bob Page, who is still a character in both the new ones.
That's Eidos?
That's Eidos Montreal, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
They make
they
the new
work
day.
4 day work weeks, those lucky guys.
Yeah, I know. I'm very jealous. Tomb Raider is still with Crystal Dynamics, except the third new one, which ended up at Eidos Montreal. Tomb Raider ended up kind of being like a reboot that was asking the question, like, what if Uncharted was needlessly violent, really? And they got like new actors and new character. I only played the first new Tomb Raider, and I thought it's pretty good. I don't really like Grimdark Lara Croft. I'm like kind of more into the. Yeah.
At least in Uncharted, I could play as a dude, you know? Like, who wants to play as a woman? Like,
I just can't relate to her. She's got so many problems I just don't get.
Yeah.
Like falling into a tiger trap.
What am I supposed to do when my period attracts bears, okay?
Like, I think it'd be the other way around, but that'd be cool if it did attack bears.
No, attract, sorry.
Oh, okay.
My neckbeard accent got the better of me there.
I kind of like the idea of like an older, more Indiana Jones, like confident, like treasure hunter lady, like the younger, like way in over her head Lara Croft. I don't particularly like, but the first game is fine. And I heard that the like Rise of the Tomb Raider of the and Birth of the Tomb Raider, whatever the fucking titles are, they're not 1, 2, 3. It's Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider. Somebody pull up the clip on this one.
I
and
played
then,
one of them.
And then, yeah, and then some other thing, an election of the Tomb Raider or whatever.
I liked it. You had to, like, you started off in the woods, you had to learn how to hunt, then you had to, like, start going into tombs and stuff, and it was fun. I think it was just Tomb Raider, like, number one of the new trilogy I played.
Yeah, I played the first of the new ones. But, like, that game changed a lot compared to the old ones. And then finally, Thief recast the actor who played the original protagonist, Garrett, and then just released a game that answered the question, what if Dishonored was bad? Before Dishonored 2 came out and showed us exactly what bad Dishonored looked like. But Hitman, by some miracle, stayed with the exact same team and even kept the same voice actor for the protagonist, Agent 47.
Is it Vin Diesel? Oh.
No. The reason I put this whole thing in is because I was, like, looking at stuff and I found out this, like, kind of ridiculous coincidence in, like, why they cast this dude. But like it's pretty interesting that like of all the franchises that Square Enix had bought and kind of tried to Call of Duty ish or like reboot, Hitman was the one that would just like didn't fucking change. It was same people, same vision. Somehow they managed to do it all. And so like Agent 47 has like a fairly unique voice that people recognize. Like he's very iconic in his performance. And he's been played by the South African and Danish actor David Bateson the entire time. And the gameplay has remained largely the same for the past 21 years. There's disguises, there's stealth, silenced weapons, all that. You've got a singular target to take out, and you're penalized for killing people who aren't that person.
So you don't stab someone in the back, you stab someone in the bick? Or how do you
stab someone in the dick?
Yeah, I can't.
Piano wider. So in the late 90s, Bateson had moved from South Africa to Copenhagen, and he caught wind of a voiceover role and decided to go in. He ended up being cast and auditioning for the role is because the design of Agent 47 just happened to already look like him. He is just a scary looking bald guy.
Nice.
Talk about typecast. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Also, in another kind of Square Enix bought a Western dev coincidence, Agent 47's voice is just David Bateson's regular voice. He is just acting, but he's not putting on a new voice. Just like Elias Tufexis, who plays Adam Jensen in the new Deus Ex games. Both these guys just sound like parodies of an action hero, basically. This is how they sound normally.
That sounds like such a great way just to cash in for the rest of your life if you get like a steady video game series where you just look like the guy, your voice is yourself. You just got to go in and read some papers every couple days and then
can you just come in, David, we need you to come in and record some of the scenes where you're disguised as a waiter. We need you to mix a drink for a rich guy and just make vague threats the entire time, because like my favorite thing about my favorite thing about Agent 47 and like the social stealth aspect is like, you might not like it, I love disguising myself as a bartender and then just sitting there, fingers tented, waiting patiently for a guy to come by, and then just like listen to the conversation where it's just like, ah, yes, the Pinot Grigio is to die for. Like he made, yeah. like when you're interacting with your target, Agent 47 talks in like thinly veiled threats the entire time. It's so fucking good.
Yeah. This year, foreign diplomat, clearly of a state which has done some questionable actions recently, probably a likely target for an assassination, is here at this ambassador's brunch, and the yeah. waiter's just making thinly veiled threats at him, and nobody's like batting an eye, basically.
Exactly.
I've been so distracted because I've been, it drove me crazy that I couldn't figure out which Hitman game I've played, but I figured out it's Blood Money. So it was
okay. Blood Money's the one that like that's got the good rep. Like from as far as like the retro Hitmans yeah. go, the Blood Money's the one that like I knew about, and the first ones don't have numbers associated with them, so it's like
yeah.
Hitman Contracts, Hitman Blood Money, whatever, Hitman Codename 47 or some shit.
Codename 47, yeah, is yeah. the first one. Yeah, but I didn't like it as a kid, but I also, you know, drank a monster a day and loved playing Halo and yeah. that stuff. So I bet you I would actually really enjoy Hitman a lot more now, kind of for that reason, because I'm tempered in my old age, basically. And honestly, like this is a statement to get my gamer card revoked, probably. But I would probably really like just looking up a guide and just like going through and like mm-hmm. just like no stress, like beating the missions. Just like, oh, this is how you're supposed to do it. Good job, Ethan.
Yeah. So like they have mission stories in the newer Hitman games where it's like, but again, you just need to come by it. Like, if you don't walk past the camera crew, you'll never hear that they are missing their sound guy, who is a bald man who looks suspiciously like Agent 47, so you can, like, find him smoking weed in the garden, knock him out and push him into a pile of dry leaves and take his clothing, right? Like,
yeah.
Like you need to find everything, but, like, if you looked up a guide, I think you probably would like it, because it is just, like, you have to solve a puzzle so that you can have a hilarious conversation with someone you're about to drown in a toilet. Like, that's it, right?
I have hilarious conversations like that with Jamie all the time.
Yeah. when we need to change his diaper during breaks, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why Jamie always leaves his camera showing his bathroom door open so Pete can see in the background if he's in distress or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta make sure nobody's choking him out.
If you're gonna kill me, you gotta have a cool bathroom like one liner. So I'll give you time to think of one before you actually kill me. But
yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that's my Trying. Toilet back there?
It's no, I mean, I know the layout of your bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I've lived in your house before for weeks at a time.
Is it just like a Looney Tunes sheet where you actually just have a painting of a bathroom to yeah. actually to distract people?
I always put the green screen just up, guys.
Full yeah. predators. Yeah.
I've been playing Lost Ark. It's actually garbage stacked to the ceiling, that whole hallway. So I have
yeah. Yeah, you took a photo of your apartment while it was clean and you just projected behind you yeah. so no one knows.
For work meetings mostly, but I do it for you guys too, yeah.
Yeah.
You look like you could use a shower of bullets. There you go.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Or what about while you're drowning me? Like, here's a courtesy flush.
And, yeah. in the toilet. There you go, shithead.
Oh, that's a good one.
Also a good one. Yeah. It like in Hitman, it would probably be something just like, sorry, I just used the washroom. It's a bit deadly in there. Would be like it would be a lot more like yeah. the way that he would word that yeah. sort of
All
thing.
Right. All right.
So IO rebooted Hitman kind of like twice ish. The third Hitman game is a partial reboot of the first Hitman game, so this is like back in 2004, which obviously I had no idea. I haven't played those games. And then Hitman 1, which Jamie played, came out in 2016. The newest trilogy. 2016, 2018, and 2021 are also a reboot. They're much more condensed and focused too. So, but we'll get into the differences between the old ones and the new ones.
There's like the new trilogy is all on Game Pass, right? If you want to get into it now.
That's where I played it, because I have Hitman 1 and 2 on Steam, and then the Hitman trilogy is on Game Pass. Right. It's not really a trilogy. It is a singular game. So like I recommend playing the trilogy starting in Paris, which is Hitman 1 okay. technically, going all the way to the end. Like I kind of refreshed my memory of the whole thing going through it, but because basically the end of Hitman 2 is an hour before the beginning of Hitman 3. Like, it's one of those sort of things, a lot like Mass Effect, I guess.
I remember being on a boat or something too. Like,
The tutorial. The tutorial has a yacht in
That's right.
Like a hangar or whatever.
That's right. And then, when you walk by certain things, you can figure out other ways to kill things. They're like, check in on the lights going out, or like, look out for the towel by the whatever majig. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the mission stories. That's what I was talking about with like the camera guy. They're missing their bald boom operator, where it's just like, if you're in the right place at the right time in these games, you can get a directed experience, or you can just get fucking lucky. Like, I have some times where I'm just like desperately trying to figure out what to do, and then my target just like wanders underneath a chandelier, and you're like, all right, you just like whip a screwdriver at it, knock it down, kill in one hit.
You bump into someone and their cyanide pill in their hand goes flying into the person's drink. It's like,
yes.
Yeah, the target's sitting in their home in Windhelm under a mounted moose head, essentially, and you sneak into the vents and untie it from the wall. I am familiar.
Yeah. Or you set up a giant glue trap in the hallway, and the guy gets stuck there, and then you watch him die over 2 weeks or however long it takes for him to come back.
Exactly.
Looks like you got yourself into a sticky situation that is also deadly.
Don't go through that door. It tends to stick. And it's just like, whoa, okay, 47.
What about Hitman? But it's all humane traps. Like,
well, that wouldn't be like Hitman. That'd be like Relocation Man.
Playing like the wacky detective. I don't know.
Yeah, like a person falls into like a 3x3 room, but it's got like a little couch, it's got a mini fridge and stuff, and you're comfortable until he relocates you to a field or whatever.
It'd be like a lobster trap, right? Like, you have to put like cocaine and a suspiciously young prostitute in like a wooden cage, but you've got the cone tunnel going in, and obviously the rich guy can't figure out how to get out once he's in.
He keeps climbing along the edges and doesn't find the hole.
Exactly.
This just brings me back to the middle now. I don't understand.
So today we're going to be going over the two major characters of Hitman, Agent 47, who obviously we've been talking about, and his handler, Diana Burnwood, as well as the agency that they work for, which is called the ICA. A lot of this is from older games that I haven't played, like I mentioned, but the three newest games as of 2022, like, make changes and maybe reference old stuff. Like, nothing old is really truly rebooted. Some of it's kind of canon or hinted at or whatever. Like, they're doing their own kind of Lore Boys canon thing out there, like, for us, thankfully. Like, I was doing a lot of the work on this one.
Okay.
God bless them.
Yeah.
So, ladies first, we'll start with Ms. Diana Burnwood. So you did hear that right, Lore Bachelors. That's a miss, if anybody is into in her 40s.
Wouldn't suggest getting involved with a woman named Burnwood.
Oh, maybe not, eh?
I mean, the writing's kind of on the wall. I don't know.
That's also her name also is just a threatening pun. The entire series is just about that. Diana was born on the 12th of September in 1972 to her father, Peter Lloyd Burnwood, and her mother, Nancy Burnwood. She grew up wealthy and went to elementary school, at the High March School in Beaconsfield, United Kingdom, which is a real school in the UK. A little bit of Lore Boys trivia here. My high school's sport rival was BHS, or Beaconsfield High School in the West Island of Montreal, because it was just the closest English high school to the one that I went to.
Yep.
Fucking Beacos, man.
He had to go all the way to UK every time he wanted to play intramural hockey.
Yeah, exactly. Our rugby
across team. The pond.
The Quebecois would rather travel to the UK than deal with the fucking Anglos in Ontario, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So throughout her life, she attended various real schools around Europe, such as Le Rosay in Switzerland and the Wycombe Abbey School in High Wycombe, Buckinghamshire, which
Buckinghamshire.
Is the most hoity-toity place I've ever heard of.
Her dad kind of sounds hoity-toity. Sounds like Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Peter Lloyd Burnwood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They share the same middle name.
Yeah.
In 1985, by George Orwell, Blue Seed Pharmaceuticals killed 80 people by leaking chemicals into the water supply near Buckinghamshire. And Diana's younger brother, James Oliver Birdwood, was among the dead. Blue Seed actually has a race car on the track at the Miami Global Innovation Race mission in Hitman 2. So I think it's the second or third mission. You have to kill a race car driver and her father. And Blue Seed still has like a sponsored car on the track that you can see as like a little Easter egg there that they dusted in.
The brother's anagram is Job. Maybe that's going to come up later. We'll see.
James Oliver Burnwood?
Yeah.
It's not an anagram. That's an acronym. But...
acronym? What's it called when you get your towels anagrammed or whatever?
Monogrammed.
Oh.
Yeah. I also don't think it's an acronym, really. It's just his initials.
Jamie's gonna like for Christmas. He's gonna get his towels like anagrammed, like complete fucking nonsense sewed into the seam.
FBI female booby inspector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was I here? Right. One day while visiting her brother's grave with her father and mother, Diana lingered at James's tombstone, and this actually saved her life because her parents, since they were plaintiffs in the case against Blue Seed, were actually killed in a car bomb. This assassination was orchestrated by Providence, which is the organization that controlled Blue Seed. A lot of Hitman is kind of real world adjacent. A more popular parallel for Providence would be the Illuminati, because they're a lot more... well, I mean, they're fake, but like a lot more kind of popular in popular culture.
You don't know that.
Providence is a lot more similar to the real world and very dangerous World Economic Forum, which is a real group of manipulative billionaires led by a man named Klaus Schwab, who recently, on January 17th, 2022, referred to Xi Jinping, re-education camp president of China, as His Excellency, which is very cool and scary.
I mean... yeah.
Justin Trudeau goes there as well.
Good.
He's a bit of a wunderkind at the World Economic Forum. Yeah. Providence is led by a member known as the Constant. This position has been filled by various people, including an ex-Soviet spy named Janus, a man named Arthur Edwards, and even Diana Burnwood herself. She ends up as the Constant eventually.
Cool.
After her parents were killed, Diana fell in with an arms dealer named Savvy. And after being betrayed by Savvy, Diana managed to get some of the assassins onto her side, which resulted in Savvy being murdered by her own men.
Betrayed, huh? Sounds like he was too savvy for you.
And she's just sitting there. She's like, what? And then just gets shot to death.
To death.
Throughout the Shadow Gang War, Diana actually managed to maintain the stiffest upper lip in the UK, and... her university grades never slipped while she was also waging like a gang war with an arms dealer.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of wunderkinds.
Yeah, exactly. When she got her job.
It's such baloney. I'm sorry. It's just such baloney because it's like so much of schoolwork is not intelligence. It's literally just like time spent doing things, right? Like that's so much of like formative education. Like the baseline education is just like, hey, you got to prove that you can commit to doing this. So like I can see in like, if you're at like, I guess you might be at like those schools that's like alternative learning. We don't have classrooms or teachers. We just let the children teach themselves. Maybe she got
A bunch of fucking alternative like woke classes in Buckinghamshire, United Kingdom, dude.
I got biased.
That's where they get all like the California hippies. It's like, oh yeah, I went to school in Buckinghamshire, and it was just like, yeah, my teacher didn't wear a bra or shave her legs. Is like the least British thing I've ever heard.
I mean, I think you can get by a lot on like. If you have good short-term memory, too. You don't need to remember anything, unless you're, like, in math or it builds on top. In my degree in psychology, as long as I could remember the things that I studied the hour before the test, during the hour of the test, I can just remember it for then and then, like, forget about it for pretty much
ever. Like, university is one thing. Yeah. And, like, I agree that I see university being possible, but, like... Yeah. But like if you're like high school, it's like literally like you just gotta write essays, man. You have to whatever 60% of your grade is homework, and then 40% is the exam, which you could just memorize, right? And the homework is literally just like busy work.
Yeah.
So you're saying
you could wage a shadow gang war and also pass high school, Ethan. Is that what you're saying here?
Yeah, I'm great at busy work. And I'm an inspiring leader. I'll be the first one to say it.
My essays are what taught me how to write episodes, I guess. It's go read a wiki and vomit something onto a page.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we got this B-plus podcast.
this B-plus podcast brought to you by our I won't say failed attempts, but our maybe futile attempts at higher education.
Yes.
I graduated from CGIP. I never went to university. I didn't even try. I hate going to school.
You graduated from university. I just say futile because, like, how useful was it for what you do now, Peter, working in cinema?
It looked really good on my CV. I had a relevant degree. Ultimately, the skill set, I'm just making it up, frankly.
Psychology is not so bad for management. I have a soft touch, but that's about it.
Yeah. You can manipulate people is the best part, right?
That's all I do.
You hypnotize them.
Yeah.
You
thought it was your idea to do a Hitman episode. I just didn't want to have to read the wiki myself.
Right. Or play through the games to be exhausted.
Yeah, exactly.
Think of all the time I could wage gang wars.
So when Diana got her job, so post-gang war, post-university, when she got her job that the players are familiar with at the ICA is unclear. Some point between 1999, before 1999, rather. She ended up employed by the ICA, which stands for the International Contract Agency. In 2016, the newest Hitman one that we were talking about, a young Diana Burnwood recruits a young Agent 47 and runs him through a series of tests, culminating in the recreation of an assassination of a Soviet spy named Jasper Knight. So back in the Cuban Missile days, Eric Soders, who is one of the heads of the ICA at this time, assassinated Jasper Knight by sabotaging his fighter jet's ejector seat. So you probably did this, Jamie. You've got the two levels with the yacht, and then you've got the airplane hangar, right, where, of course, you can just walk in and choke the guy to death. But if you follow one of the mission stories, you can sabotage his ejector seat, and he gets launched through the roof of the hangar, which is what kills him.
Right, Jasper.
Yeah,
Jasper Knight, and you go up to him and you say, "You're gonna survive, JK."
Yes.
Got it. Looks like you won't survive the night.
Oh, that's a good one
death.
Too.
To also death. A good one. Yeah.
the last little bit was a little bit overkill, I think. But yeah.
Jasper. No, I mean,
he's gonna to death.
Jasper, I hardly even know her, and then just shoots him in the back of the head. Like, glad nobody heard that.
Knock knock, Jasper. He just shoots himself in the head. Hitman's dead.
Kills himself. So during this test, which is the tutorial for the first game, Diana is surprised by 47's ingenuity when you choke out a security guard and take his clothing, allowing you to move about the facility just in plain sight. And that's the social stealth aspect that we were talking about earlier.
Damn, I really expected you to just walk in there and shoot him, but it says here that you choked out a sound guy for a camera crew,
yeah,
threw him into some bushes, then launched the target into the ceiling of the hangar with an ejector seat?
Whatever gets it done. It's like, why'd you take his underpants? Like, people can't see it. Take everything, like his socks and his undies, just like...
Yeah. Yeah. like freezers and boxes and anything that you can hop into, people will just forget you exist if you find one of these things, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's not so much anymore. It's a little less busted. People will drag your ass out of a cupboard if they see you hide in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a clip from one of the more recent trilogies where it's just like, it shows like the player and he's like standing in a doorway like off a kitchen or whatever, and he's like does like a whistle command or something that makes somebody come check, and the guy comes up and checks, and then you just see like you see Agent 47 in front of you, and then you see the guy reacting that he's called over and goes like, "What's this?" and then like slowly walks into the room, and then the camera slowly pans and there's just like a 6-foot tall pile of naked bodies.
Yeah.
And then he just knocks the guy out, takes his clothes off, throws him onto the pile, goes back to the door and whistles again, like
Yeah, like the AI is not great. They will be distracted by literally anything.
Yeah.
Like you can like flick coins or like toss stuff. A really cool distraction thing to get rid of security is to drop a weapon on the ground. Where if a non-security, like a non kind of combat enemy finds a gun, they'll go tattletale basically. and then they'll come back with a security guard, and then both of them will leave because they will have to go. They go basically dispose of the gun, which is like it's kind of the quickest way to get rid of two people. It's to just like throw a gun, just like leave a gun on like a cafeteria table.
Yeah, leave a gun in, leave a gun in a playground and take care
exactly.
of some people.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. Leave some, bury some needles in the sandbox, and then that's the best way to get rid of multiple people at the like when you're trying to assassinate a fourth grader in the third mission.
I saw a really good Valorant play like that, where the person got like a really expensive gun at the spawn, threw it on the ground, kept their pistol in the corner, and someone thought that it was just an extra gun. So as they were coming around to rotate, they just got shot in the back of the head with the pistol by picking up the gun with the skin on it.
Nice. Valorant is a game that I don't know anyone on the planet who talks about it.
It's a lot of people play it.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
really big.
So, which is so weird. Like, I don't know anybody like in my orbit. Yeah,
I know a lot.
You know,
of
people play CS:GO. Like, I don't know.
It's so.
I feel like we're too old for the Twitch shooter.
Terry
Twitch
plays
shooter
CS:GO.
Meta.
I have CS:GO installed, but I play like against bots to feel confident because I play against real people. I just
I will say though, on the AI feeling stupid, and this is something that, like, as I've gotten older, I appreciate more and more in games where like fun has to trump realism like every single time. Where like if they programmed like the most realistic Hitman game yet, where people acted like real people, it's like, well, you could never do these fun wacky things, which is why I want to play this game, right?
Well,
like,
no, because you could choke a guy out and steal his clothes in the room, and unless he's a specific class of enemy, the other person in the room will turn around and see someone who looks completely different. Oh, actually, speaking of which, I was thinking about this in one of the missions. There's a mission in Mumbai where one of your targets is a Bollywood director, right?
Okay.
And this mission's really cool because you don't actually have to kill anybody because there's another hitman in the mission. So nice. If you follow the steps properly, you can actually just kind of get your targets out in the open so that they can get sniped by this other guy. You never have to touch anybody.
That's cool.
And to kill the Bollywood director, he's getting his portrait painted in front of a window, right? And then you can choke out the painter, steal his clothes, and then pose as the painter. And then you, like, paint the same painting, but you put, like a reticle around his head and, like, leave that, like, flourish on the thing. But the problem is, the guy whose clothes you steal is Indian. He's not white. So when 47 shows up, he's just like, we're ready to go. He doesn't look anything like him.
This Hollywood director clearly like hired some like famous painter, like, you know,
and he doesn't recognize him. Like, most missions coincidentally have a bald white guy around who you can steal the clothes off of, right? Like, which is like some of the fun. But in this one, like, you just straight up is just like, yeah, hi, I'm whatever, Gurmeet Singh, I'm here to paint your portrait. And this Bollywood director is like, yeah, you look the part. Let's go. You're wearing the scarf.
I have just realized that the biggest threat to we three lore boys is if we ever meet Ocrest at like a function or something.
Oh, yeah. So,
big white bald guy, I mean. He'll be the one that gets choked out and replaced by Agent 47, if anything.
Yeah, it's going to be him, yeah.
If we do this long enough, we might have a bald guy on crew, too. I don't know which one of us it'll be, but one of us.
I'm doing okay right now.
All of us still have hair at 30, so we might be okay. But
yeah, God willing.
If we're doing this at 90, check back in.
Yeah. Our 8,000th episode.
I'll never live to 90, dude. No way.
So one of the cool parts, like, I know we're like making fun of the stealth. The basis for the social stealth system is, like, as described by the developers in the interviews they were doing, is you don't see cleaning staff or security guards or even cops, right? Like, if the waiter who brought you your wine was different than the guy who brought you your breadsticks, you'd never fucking know. Which is the really interesting part. Like some of the newer games, like I said, have it's a class of any called an enforcer. They're like the managers, like they know who their staff are. So the disguise isn't God mode, because like somebody knows who they hired, and those people are constantly roaming the map and can catch you.
And I mean, like, even more so, like, most of your targets are like rich people, and like I feel like the richer you become, like, the more you lean towards sociopath rather than empath, right? So you probably like notice the serving class less and less the higher up you go. So.
Yeah, and then even then, like, some of the targets who are, again, like, sociopathic elites, do have like personal security, and some of them will recognize you. But a lot of them, you're right, have like, if you get, like, a janitorial outfit, or, like, the example I used earlier, like, to poison the guy, it was, like, making his, whatever, pedophile brunch margarita, basically. Like, they have no idea who you are, so you can just poison them. And like, and that's it. Yeah.
Who did you say you were again? Prime Minister of Canada? Sure, whatever. 6'7" bald guy. I bet. Okay, whatever. Yeah, sure. Take a drink, no problem.
This guy's Justin Trudeau. He's putting on like the blackface makeup and the turban. He's just like blending right in.
Oh hey. No.
Our elected leader does not get away with that one for free. So.
Oh fuck no, he doesn't. before we get into the corporation, the ICA itself, I think it is a good time to have a break.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you bought the thing you were advertised. The ICA itself is not super well defined. It's very much like a shadowy organization. They take on assassination contracts and claim to be neutral. It was founded at some point and operated up until recently. When it came about, a lot of the fiction feels very post-Cold War. Like, it probably was started in maybe the 40s, right? Basically. And operates up until the new trilogy, basically. Where am I here? By the time Agent... All right, they have a board of directors, which was headed up until some point by just an unknown man. He was only known to have a deep voice, but hid his identity completely from everybody, and even recommended everybody working for him, obviously, because they are paid killers, to also hide their identity. So they have a very good HR department, which is just like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, if you start dating someone on the job... tell HR just in case or whatever, like some of that shit. It's just like, yeah, HR recommends you literally never show your face in public ever. And if someone takes a photo of you, you should probably kill them.
HR is like, okay, you should do your best to hide your identity, but also hired the guy with a fucking barcode tattooed to the back of his bald fucking head.
Yeah.
Come on.
He is the sorest thumb in every single crowd as far as sticking out goes, for like no matter what.
What's HR? Hitman Resources?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good one.
It's 2022. HR says we should use hit people resources now.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. Can you imagine the diversity officer at the ICA?
They're gonna cancel assassins.
Yeah,
cancel culture, right?
Yeah. It's like you have to like reveal that there are assassins so that you can then cancel them, basically.
Yeah. They them to death. Shoots in the chat.
Yeah, it's like the email signature.
Yeah.
So the ICA had a rule to never take on contracts if a former client was the target. However, in 2002, they started to make exceptions. And this is, of course, 3 years after 47 is hired. By the time you're playing as Agent 47 and in Hitman 1, I believe, you're sent to kill a man named Silvio Caruso. Diana, who is your handler? She's the woman on the radio. Just does not fucking care anymore. It's not even mentioned. She's just like, yeah, he used to be a client of ours, but now he's a bioterrorist and someone else is paying us to kill him.
Yeah.
So that's very much like the like ICA junk mail comes in. It's like, we've updated our terms of service, and like Silvio Caruso just like scrolls to the bottom so that like it highlights the okay button and just like slams it. Like, I don't give a shit.
Let's be real. He gets an unpaid intern to do that for him.
Of course, yes.
Sign the consent form. So
exactly. Can you imagine being the unpaid intern who just like clicks OK on EULAs all day for like whatever, like Warren Buffett?
Yeah. You know, Warren Buffett has never clicked a EULA himself. No. I think that's fair to say. At his age, yeah. Like I don't think so.
He definitely doesn't know what they look like. He doesn't know what they are. but also, he's an army.
Sorry? I only know Jimmy. Who's Warren?
You got Jimmy Buffett.
He's a what do they call him? Parrot head. He's a parrot head for sure. Warren Buffett.
Parrot.
Yeah, those are fans of Jimmy Buffett. I'm pretty sure they're called parrot heads.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Parrothead simply refers to someone who is a fan of Jimmy Buffett's music and lifestyle that he promotes. And they are everywhere in all caps. Good.
Color me a parrothead. I didn't know that was the term. I'll be one now.
Yeah, we put Jamie and Warren Buffett in a category like two peas in a pod. You can barely say one's name without referencing the other. Warren Buffett is a extremely wealthy man. He's a billionaire.
Yeah, he's one of like those guys who somehow kind of like hid his like cruel billionaire status a lot like what's his name? George Soros. George Soros is like a mysteriously rich like evil billionaire, but he's part of so many neo-Nazi conspiracies that he has managed to completely shield himself behind that. Where like anytime anybody Googles him, most of the results are just about like the crazy Nazi conspiracies where they're just like, oh, this guy must be all right if the Nazis hate him. But it's like all completely fake. And he's like trying to make a media company now that is called something like True News or whatever, which is just like a mobster making legitimate business LLC. Like it's the wildest fucking thing.
Yeah.
God, dude.
But homeboy is rich enough to completely control what you Google about him. And
as of March, Warren is the sixth richest man on Earth with a net worth of over $117 billion. Remember when Bill Gates was like the number one richest with $80 billion?
Yeah, what a pussy.
it really does seem like it's skewing in one direction, that wealth gap, huh? Seems like it's going one way here. I don't know, guys.
Two ways, but the middle is definitely getting bigger.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say I can't believe the third guy who didn't make it to the podium is twice as rich as Bill Gates was when we were impressed by that. Right. Right. Where was we here? Right. So the ICA also has a genetic clone program, and they've used it in the past. It doesn't seem to be canon anymore. This is kind of the stuff that I was talking about earlier, where it's like referred to but never confirmed but still kind of like partially canon. Like they kind of wink and nod to it more than anything in the newer games, but like it's very strange. Other shadowy organizations like the FBI, the CIA, Canadian CSIS, who's like our spy program.
Hey, we made the list.
Yeah, we made it. We did it, guys.
I didn't even know we had a CSIS. They must be doing their job well then, because
yeah. Yeah, Jamie's got a few CSIS and desists, if you know, but
yeah, exactly. From Jimmy Buffett for playing all his music on public radio without asking. You know, I'm a parrothead. I thought I was supposed to parrot his music elsewhere, but I guess not.
Jamie's out on like a broken down old houseboat in the middle of the ocean playing Jimmy Buffett songs.
looks like I'm parrot heading to jail.
The guy behind him is Agent 47. Obviously.
Yeah, to death. To death.
To death. And even the UN turn a blind eye to the actions of the ICA, which is like very clearly based on reality because the UN does not give a fuck what the CIA does.
No, the whatever, yeah, and like the even the whatever you said at the top there, the billionaire club or whatever, like
the World Economic Forum.
The world does nothing to address them. Like, come on, look at the state of the world right now. Clearly, billionaires have gone too far.
Yeah, exactly. But even some of these organizations will just help the ICA directly. With things like information. So they'll call up their contacts with the FBI or CSIS or the UN and just be like, hey, someone is paying us to murder this guy, you know? You want to let us know where he is or, like, his habits, like, if he walks his dog and shit? Like, that'd be great. And the UN is just like, yeah, oh, yeah, we'll forward it to you. We got pictures of him walking his dog. We're like, hey, where's JFK? And the CIA is like, don't worry about him, we got it.
Yeah.
that one's free. The services they offer, the ICA, are not free. The price depends on how difficult a target is to get to. So, like, how many chefs do you need to steal the clothes of? Because every chef is, like, that's a billable chef right there, right? You don't want the guy to have too much wait staff.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, it's just going to, like, shoot that price to the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Why do I have two sauciers? Get out of the kitchen, you! Agent 47 with just like a very confused Ratatouille, just like no hair on his head to grab, like, just massaging
write
his
that
stuff.
Down. Write that down. I'm working on that. What's the rat's name in Ratatouille?
It's not Ratatouille.
Remy.
I think it's Remy.
Remy sounds right.
Remy.
Yeah. Or that is the
Ratatouille's a food.
Yeah, or that is the guy. I don't know what the chef might be Remy as well.
Oh yeah,
Remy Buffett.
Yes, yeah.
Buffett is French for buffet.
Sorry, top billed cast when I searched Ratatouille movie came out as Brad Bird, who played Ambrister Minion. I guess
I have no fucking idea. I know who Brad Bird is. I don't know what any of those words after that meant.
Yeah, it is Remy. The chef was Alfredo Linguini.
Yes, that's stupid.
I think like
Alfredo Linguini.
I'm impressed on that
to death.
The love interest in that movie is fine as fuck. That big nose French girl.
Okay, this is a cartoon.
Okay,
isn't she?
Yeah, learning some things, Pete. That's hentai.
This is
the hentai lore that Saucy's been waiting for.
Oh yeah. I would fuck Alfredo Linguini's girlfriend.
Okay. And I'm gonna bet Mrs. Incredible Pete.
Nah, not so much.
No, okay. Wow.
Alfredo Linguini's girlfriend, you think she liked like pre or post Ratatouille head? Like which one was doing a better job? Right. Alfredo Linguini himself or the rat?
Yeah. No, the rat
on during sex.
The rat stays on to his
what? Yeah. Never mind.
It's just, but he's got like a neo-Nazi tattoo on his collarbone, and she's just like the rat.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that shocks her. Oh my god. Right. So the other thing that could drive up the price of the rat that will please your woman is the actual rat that's been hired. So Agent 47 is not the only assassin working for the ICA, obviously. He's just the best. If you want a top shelf assassination, it's gonna cost you, but it'll get you some 47.
Basically. There's no Agent 48. Oh, is there? Okay. Is there no Agent 46 then?
There is. There are, rather.
Well, the guy in the dark room.
I was like, Pete said, like a squeaky door.
The guy in the dark room for earlier is just Agent 1, right? Like the guy who, the invisible leader?
He's no.
Like the first hitman, no?
He is not, no. We will get into the Hitman series of clone kids, basically, when we get to 47 himself, which will come after this ICA section here.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. The ICA also offers non-murder jobs. You can pay them to just do some spy shit. If you want to get some blackmail or find like a conservative politician in a gay bar, they'll do it for you. No,
grocery
no big
delivery.
Deal. Oh, yeah. Uber Eats. Yeah. 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 If you want cold McDonald's delivered with a veiled threat, they'll do it for you. Like, don't worry about it. They're just like Uber Eats.
That's right. They'll leave it at your neighbor's door and charge you full price.
Yep. Yeah. The clients never actually speak to the assassins directly. They communicate through handlers like Diana Burnwood. So, like, I like her because she's a middle manager, just like I'm a middle manager. I don't talk to Robert Zemeckis, but I take all of his bullshit through three people down the line, basically.
Right.
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 So that's it's cool. Where she's just like, I have no real responsibility. I basically tell people what to do, and people tell me what to do. I just kind of drift, baby. That's what my Buckinghamshire
sounds and updates.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Yeah, upstream, downstream. That's what my Buckinghamshire education got me, as well as my gang war experience. Handlers will gather info, procure helpful items like invitations to galas. You get to walk in the front door of the gala in Paris that Jamie had mentioned earlier because you get a fake invitation, basically. Under a fake name, Agent 47's chosen fake name is Tobias Reaper because he is just such a joker. but they'll also like smuggle items in. If you replay missions, like your experience goes up with a particular mission, you can level up an area basically in the Hitman games, and you can unlock various starting points. So you can start disguised as a chef, or you can smuggle in a gun or like piano wire or something to kill a guy with, like in a convenient location. And the handlers kind of handle all of this shit. They handle all the boring logistical stuff just to make sure they get you in the same room with the guy so that you can say something to death and drown him in his pee.
Tobias Reaper sounds like the lamest chili pepper. Like, it's like with an astounding 499 on the Scoville scale. Tobias Reaper, you know?
I was thinking the band at first.
Oh, yeah.
This is the lamest chili pepper. Like, yeah.
Hey, wouldn't it be a 47 on the Scoville?
Go, oh, right? You're right. Oh,
yeah. I can't believe it, Janie. Ah. Jesus Christ.
Right there, dude.
I will say, the Scoville scale is the stupidest thing.
I don't get it at all. Yeah,
like, it just goes from, like, oh, 1,000 is, like, not hot. And you're like, okay, well, 1,000 seems like a big number. And they're like, no, you want hot? Try 60 million. It's like, why'd you make your numbers so big? Like, is heat in food an MMO all of a sudden? Like, we're at in hot sauces, basically.
Well, yeah,
like, when I played The Division, remember, it was just like, I don't know what any of these numbers mean. I just got a headshot for 2.4 million damage. Like, was that a lot? Like, how much HP does that guy have?
I mean, when Spicy came out, it was pretty like reasonable, where it went up to 1,000 or whatever. But we're 10 expansions since then, so
Burning Crusade, of course.
It's Pepper Cream. It's
Pepper Cream. That's Crusade what it is. Works surprisingly.
Yeah. There was a cataclysm in my bathroom afterwards.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Wrath of the anal bleeding. Yeah. Vanilla. I don't think it was ever vanilla, but yeah.
Well, you went back to Hot Pepper Classic recently, right?
Yeah, Hot Pepper Classic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like, I yearn for the days back at the bell pepper when you just had to eat the whole thing and it took you 4 days instead of like, oh man, people are just going straight to jalapeno at this point. It's ridiculous.
I gotta say, and I've told this story before, I think on air, I've definitely told it to you guys, where like my mom, when I was young, used to say that you really have to rinse your dishes well, otherwise you'll get botulism.
Botulism, yeah. She's told me that.
Not rinsing your dishes well enough, which is like a crazy thing that my mom heard at some point. Like, this was pre Facebook, and for sure somebody told her.
She
treated it like it was from like she would treat something from Facebook, right? Where she's just like, oh, okay, like can't get botulism, right? Anybody who doesn't know, it's like the third or second most deadly naturally occurring bacteria in the world or something.
Yeah,
but she has also told me at some point that you can't eat an entire green pepper because it gets too spicy at the center and will kill you. And I was like, I was an adult when she told me that. I was
like a bell pepper?
Yeah, a green bell pepper. She said, it's just the green ones. And I said, Mom, they're not even more spicy than the other ones. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, bring me a bell pepper. I will eat it or die in front of you right now.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense.
Again, it's just one of these things that my mom heard and did not critically think about at all. It was just like, okay. Parroted it back. She's a parrothead.
Where's the middle? But no, where's the middle of the bell pepper? Is it bottom to top, or is it like towards the seed core?
The core, yeah. The seed core, for sure. Yeah.
Well, you don't eat the seeds anyway.
Yeah, I know, but she was saying you couldn't. Because she cooks with green peppers. But she's like, oh, but you can't eat a whole thing.
It's like a boo-boo fish where you need to be like skilled enough to take the middle out of your fucking pepper.
You know who did get botulism is Steve MRE 1989 on YouTube, the guy who opens up like 100-year-old war food. Like,
he was eating corned beef from the Boer War for some fucking reason. Like, yeah, no kidding, you got sick.
Check
dude.
Out some of the, he eats 100-year-old shit, and then he'll go to the hospital, and then he'll come back and he'll eat more 100-year-old shit. He's just so into eating old rations, man.
It's gotta make a living.
Yeah,
he loves it.
I love how we're like, I love how we're like between points here, so we can kind of go off for a couple minutes. Yeah. That because I've been watching the news about the Ukraine. He recently ate a Ukrainian MRE, and because YouTube's algorithm is so fucked up, it's like it conflates watching the news with like, hey man, you want to see Ben Shapiro's opinion on it? And it's like, no. why did you think I would want that? I'm watching the CBC YouTube, but like the Ukrainian news was just like this random ass like MRE guy who's very fucking weird. Yeah. And I posted it in Discord as though it was some sort of curiosity, and Jamie's like a fan.
No, I love it. Yeah. It's great.
Like I've seen it before for sure too.
He like opens up sometimes when you like there's old stuff and you'll know that it's like you probably shouldn't eat it because it hisses. There's some type of reaction when you open it.
And he goes, well, it's decomposing. It creates gas.
Yeah. And he's like, nice hiss. And then he puts it out onto a tray. It's like he first arranges everything so you know what's coming up. And then he's excited because he gets to put it on a tray and actually open it all up. He's like,
yeah, he's got like an aluminum like cafeteria tray that's like all sectioned off basically.
It's from some war that he just always uses that one. And he's like, let's get this
that's
out
his
to
favorite.
A tray.
He has a second YouTube channel where he reviews like ration trays from various wars and armies.
Well, I watched one that was like a Canadian MRE that's like pulled pork, and he was like, and it does look pretty decent. Yeah. And he was like, oh no, this is a pretty good one. And he's just like, ah, yes, the good standard Canadian spork. And I'm like, are we like the spork military? Like,
He knows. He knows everything, man. And I love every single time. Like, let's just get this out into a tray. And then there's the smash cut from everything just being onto the tray. And he goes, nice. Like every single time.
And he sorts shit like, because obviously MREs come like vacuum sealed, right? So they're usually in, like bricks or squares or whatever. And he always arranges everything in like a perfect spread on the table, like fucking cards, basically.
He smokes 100-year-old
tarot.
He drinks 100-year-old coffee while smoking 100-year-old cigarettes, and he flips the camera around so you can really get a good look at him while he's smoking them. Oh my god, dude. Honestly, really good. Now whenever I'm at home and I'm like putting some crackers and cheese onto a plate, I'll be like, let's get this onto a tray. Nice. And then go sit in my
wait for your charcuterie board.
Anyway, Steve MRE 1989. If you guys want some ASMR old army rations, it's a good YouTube channel.
Yeah. It is fascinating as far as like a historical channel. It's just very weird.
He gets so excited. I love nerds that are just so into one thing, and that's him.
Oh yeah, you love that like that British train kid who has like the fisheye lens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Post 10, the guy who just loves storm drains and trains. Like anyways, we're way off.
There we go. Yeah, it's all good. Everybody still likes kind of the entertaining, like derailing of our train here.
Exactly.
This is the lore folk getting the teaser trailer for the premium subscription that people fucking pay for. So
yeah, exactly.
this is the bonus content that they're paying for here.
Yeah, let's get our content back onto a tray here.
Yeah, exactly. Nice.
So in Hitman Absolution, it is revealed that the ICA operative Benjamin Travis had been secretly creating a new cloned assassin who was even better than the last ones. At this point, she was a young girl named Victoria. Because the clones are generally not born as adults or, like, aged up. So, like, you get a test tube baby and then you have to take care of the fucking thing until you can send it to kill, whatever, to disguise itself as Justin Trudeau at a gala in Davos, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And that takes a long fucking time. Because then you have to take care of this thing that you just made.
Like a Tamagotchi?
Worse than a Tamagotchi, actually. Because the Tamagotchi doesn't disguise itself as another toy to kill your other toys. A little Barbie wig on. Diana found out about this, which led to the events of the game Hitman Absolution. Agent 47 is actually sent to kill Diana in the first mission. This is an unpopular game, and I can tell why, because it's actually the first Hitman game I ever played. It was on PS Plus in, like, 2011 or some shit. It's good, but, like, when fans of Hitman are just like, this ain't Hitman, and I don't like it, having played top-tier, like, fucking primo Hitman, I know exactly why people don't like it. It is the closest thing to, like, a oversimplified, like, Modern Warfare sort of reboot of the series that they ever got to. And it is definitely the worst one I've played out of the four that I've played, but it isn't terrible. right? Like, I have it on Steam for some reason. I don't remember why, but yeah.
It's not they Modern Warfare like COD, like, you can tactical nuke your targets, right? Like,
no, but he's saying it did to the franchise what Modern Warfare did to the COD franchise, where it was a departure, right?
Yes. Got it. Exactly. Modern Warfare was also like very much like a shift point in game development, and anything that was made after that for the following 6 years was very much influenced by the popularity of Modern Warfare, right? Like, everything had iron sights, everything got a lot easier, everything kind of, you know, got very generic for a period of time, and Absolution was definitely a victim of that.
Yeah,
cultural shift, I'd say.
We've talked a bit about like how it's kind of like puzzle mechanics, and it's about like, you know, patience and like finding the right beats and all that. And I haven't played Absolution, and it actually has pretty good ratings when you look at like Metacritic and IGN and stuff. But just looking, I went to images, and the top six images, two of them are just the flash art. And then one of them is him like crouching, kind of like a third person cover shooter, like a Gears of War, like he's crouching behind cover or whatever, and like he's clearly stealthing, like the guy hasn't noticed him. The next one is basically the same thing, where he's like behind cover, ready to like get into a fight. The third one is like an open firefight where they're just like shooting each other, and then the last one is like him in a window with a sniper rifle, like getting ready to shoot somebody. Yeah. So even just like those four stills, it just feels like different than the slow and steady kind of pace to the other games, where if I look up Blood Money, the top six is all close-ups. It's three face close-ups of Mr. Hitman, one where he's just walking into a manor, and then one where he's dressed as a clown at a child's birthday party.
There you go. So you can see there's a shift in tone.
Yeah, that's how I figured out which one I'd played, because I remember dressing up as the clown, like you knock the clown out or whatever, you steal his outfit, now like you're the clown at the kid's birthday party or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's basically just got a TMP and a clown outfit, or an MP5 and a clown outfit.
Jeez.
So, throughout the newest trilogy of games, the ICA is duped into taking multiple connected contracts, where 47 is sent to take out various members of Providence, or people who are connected to Providence. It is discovered that Eric Soders, who we mentioned earlier, he was the guy who originally did the fighter jet trick, excuse me, was a mole for Providence and was using the agency for his own nefarious deeds. He ends up actually being the final target in Hitman 2016. Some of the mission stories for this one is he's in like this fancy Japanese hospital in Hokkaido, like up on a mountain, for a heart transplant. And you don't even need to interact with him, because if you can get into the basement, you can just take his heart, crush it, and throw it in the trash.
Just put some dish soap on his heart and give him botulism. Jam a green pepper up his ass while he's on the operating table.
Wait, you replace his heart with a green pepper. Finally, now that we've talked about the ICA and Diana, we can get into 47 to cap this episode off here. And this is, like, we've made no secret of it. Agent 47 is the one and only protagonist of all of the Hitman games. Again, like, unique among a lot of games that have been around this long, and unique among the Square Enix Western reboots. He's not, like, they didn't replace him with, like, a protege or, like, a younger assassin trained by 47, where he's, like, a grumpy old fuck or whatever. Like, 47's the guy. He's John Hitman, basically. He's on the box. He's on every single one of them. That's it.
Boy, break that lamp and stick it in that aquarium.
Boy.
Originally, like Victoria, who I mentioned from Hitman Absolution, 47 was a composite clone. He has five genetic fathers and was born in a test tube. And the one that we play is the 47th clone. So there was a cloning program, and Agent 47 was just the one.
Five in genetic the fathers.
Yeah.
Jeez.
In the 50s, five men who served together in the French Foreign Legion and fought in the First Indochina War, which was in the 40s, the end of the 40s and into the 50s.
Imagine going to school with two dads. That'd be tough from time to time.
But I think you have
five dads. that's really
go over the horizon, like it goes past the event horizon, like beyond homophobia, where it's just like two dads. Oof. I mean,
I think actually school kids,
the old principal might not be okay with that.
Yeah,
but five dads, it's just like, what do you even say?
Depends where you are. Salt Lake City, you might not get a second look for multiple parents, right? Like, or more than two parents. So
multiple parents, even like three.
Yeah, exactly. parents being the singular two.
I wish I had five dads. Imagine Christmases and stuff. That'd be fun.
Dude, you couldn't deal with five lawyers. Are you kidding me?
Not five of my dad. My dad would be one of five. The five. Yeah.
Five Bobs. Five Bobs. Four names.
These five men served together in the First Indochina War. This is a real war that took place in the former French colonies in Southeast Asia. This is like places, these kind of like ex-colonies now are like Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. These men were Otto Wolfgang Ortmeier, Li Hong, Pablo Belisario Ochoa, Franz Fuchs, and Arkadij Yergorov. After the war, they became criminal masterminds and donated their DNA to a cloning project that was headed up by Ortmeier. Ortmeier
I donated my DNA a couple places, too, if you know what I mean.
Hey, man, when what happens in Nam stays in Nam, dude.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Ortmeier set up a mental hospital in Romania after the war to act as like a cover for his genetic experiments. The more recent trilogy seems to get rid of the clone stuff, I think. However, the hospital and the orphans are still kind of maintained that, like, they get trained up into killing machines. The newer games seem to be much closer to, like, Marvel's Black Widow, where she was, like, an ex-Soviet, like, orphan, basically, who was trained into an assassin at, like, some, like, creepy school that just had, like, a spooky basement where they would, like, torture kids and turn them into killing machines, basically.
Yeah, that's how you make, like, well-adjusted, focused adults is creepy basements and torture.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
Lore Boy's
parenting. So it's Lore Boy's parenting trips.
some parenting tips. Don't do it alone. Make sure you got at least five dads there to help you out.
You know? I got five dads.
Yep. Yeah, we're way beyond the gay agenda here on Lore Boys. Five dads. Come on.
Five dads. Yeah.
We're three. Like we need to find two more people to have our own lore son.
So. Yeah, yeah, I mean, we're not the Canadian government won't let us adopt unless we're five dudes.
Yeah. raising children requires basically assembling all five pieces of Exodia where one man plays each piece.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I want to be the torso of the dad.
I want to be leg.
Wait, there's a torso in Exodia? I think it's like arm, leg, head, no?
Oh, is the torso? I've never played Yu-Gi-Oh. I'm sorry to instantly betray myself as like the cool guy trying to participate.
I had Exodia and it disappeared when I was at my dad's house when I still had an evil stepmom, and to this day I still think she stole the card to rob me of my joy. Like I don't know where this card went. It was in my bedroom. I know exactly where it was, and her son didn't have one and I did have one, and I think she stole it from me.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past her. If we're putting moms on blast this episode,
yeah,
I wouldn't put it past Monique.
Yeah, she's pretty evil.
What's she have to see up to these days?
I don't know. She better have my Exodia still. She's reading tarot cards or some bullshit. She's doing anyways.
Oh,
you know what we can do? We can probably hire a guy to make veiled threats against her at like a mimosa brunch, basically.
Let's see. We're doing a reading. We have the tower. That's good. Okay. We have the high priestess inverted. We have Exodia, the forbidden one.
Oh, she's using my
inverted. Oh no.
It's like smaller too. It's like just in the deck.
No, this means you're gonna have five dads in another life.
Damn. Dude, imagine a barbecue when you have five dads. It would be so fun.
Oh, it'd be so good. The length of that grill. It's like that's I love how we both went to the same place. And then,
the grill. The dad station.
Yeah, a motherfucking like grill trough. Like it like two oil drums cut in half.
Yeah.
Right? Like that'd be wild. Yeah. All charcoal, baby.
Mm. They've got like an apron, but they're all connected and they've got five loops on
it. Because one apron.
He's so cute. Come on.
What's like a Monty Python knight that's just like the one big tunic with the three collars?
Oh my god. I want that. I want five dads now. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I gotta call mine and tell them just like, you don't cut it anymore, Danny.
You got four friends? That's the only way I'm coming over from now on.
Yeah. Ortmeier, like in the interim before the cloning project, Ortmeier provided his four colleagues, his four step. I guess they're four husbands, right? If there's four dads, it's not. I was gonna say his four stepdads, but that's not true because they're all together.
Yeah.
In this,
four husbands.
They're all sister wives, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ortmeier provided his four sister wives with cloned organs in the interim before the actual like assassin project, which prolonged their lives. So these five men were like lived beyond their years by getting the younger people transplants. And like the people who make Hitman are clearly kind of up to date on conspiracies, because obviously like I know that guy who's like Q-pilled completely. A lot of QAnon lore is about, like, the elite stealing blood from children to, like, continue to live on.
Adrenochrome, or is that something else?
Adrenochrome, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And, like, I don't even know if this is true, but that's why I sent you that clip from the John Stewart's podcast, where it's, like, I think it's true that Peter Thiel, like, one of the founders of eBay...
Has a blood
gets
boy.
Gets blood transfusions. Yeah, he has a blood boy. He has, like, gets blood transfusions from young men... to prolong his life, basically.
Jeez. How many blood boys you need if you got five dads? That's a lot of blood boys.
Well, at least 10, right? Like,
you want a couple. Yeah, you want one's completely juiced, you go for the other one.
Yeah, yeah, you got to recover. Let that kid bone marrow recover, basically. It's so beyond the cloned meat organs, the objective of his cloning project was to create the perfect assassin. Agent 47 was created on September 5th, 1964, in Ortmeier's asylum in Romania. He had the numbers 640-509-040-147 tattooed on the back of his head. So that's what the barcode is, basically.
Call Jenny, right? Yeah.
640509 is the date of his creation, and 04 kind of marks the, like, it's part of the series. He's a series 4 because it's 40 something.
They just got rid of the headphones jack.
Yeah.
And they moved to the fucking lightning USB adapter. The EU made the fourth series illegal to continue in that sense, right?
Right.
Yeah, the 47 can charge wirelessly, so it's really handy, really.
The 5 series had to adopt the USB-C because of EU mandates. So
right. Yeah, that was it's creating too much electronic waste.
Yeah, exactly.
To charge your Hitman. and then 47 is to represent that he is the 47th clone, basically. Despite seemingly removing the clone origin from 47 in the newer games, his birthday remained the same.
Cool.
Okay.
So they didn't change the date of creation. While he was young,
sin number stay the same.
There's no numbers on the barcode anymore. It's just a barcode. But yeah, I guess his social insurance stayed the same. Definitely.
Okay. But yeah. He'll still get that pension.
Yeah. While he was young, 47 developed a brotherly relationship with another boy / clone, depending on the canon that you're going for, named Six, basically. And at one point, Six
boy.
And 47, yes, exactly. He still had a headphone jack. That's why they were friends.
He still had like the physical wheel, right?
Yeah,
like,
if
he goes swimming,
the wheel in the middle of his chest.
If he goes swimming when he gets out of the water, like water drains from inside him still because he's not perfectly flush on the inside.
Yeah.
Exactly.
At one point, 6 and 47 tried to escape the asylum because they were young friends. After returning to try and free some of the other clones, 47 was recaptured, but 6 disappeared, presumed dead. However, it is revealed in the newer games that 6 would grow up into a man who started calling himself Lucas Gray. Also in the new trilogy, Lucas turned out to be the Shadow Client that was waging war against Providence and ordering many of the connected hits. So he was telling his childhood best friend to kind of, you know, go after the elites that fuck their lives up.
Cool.
And turn them into, you know, stone cold killers, basically.
And their childhood Attica. Friends, too. So yeah. He probably, like, sent him on a couple prank missions, like, go into the swamp and then fight this guy, but he just falls in a big pit of balloons or something.
After Six disappeared, 47 had his memory wiped with an experimental serum, which does have an antidote which is used in the later games so that he kind of realizes who he was to get him onto the side of the murdering everybody at Providence, basically. And Ortmeier had convinced 47, actually, that he had killed Six and was right to do it. So he had implanted lies in his head after wiping his memory. And over the years, he continued to train and eventually became the facility's best top-shelf clone, with 47, that is. The French Foreign Legion boys started to get a little impatient with Ortmeier, as they didn't feel like that he had kind of produced enough results with all their money and genes that they had donated, which doesn't really make any fucking sense, considering he was just like, yo, here's fresh organs to keep you alive forever. Also, I am training perfect killing machines. And they're just like, well, like classic fucking shareholders, right?
Yeah, that's it. Like, well, we want it faster. I literally knew it was going to take a while, so I cheated God and extended your lifespan. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like,
what do you mean you want it faster? Well, we got quarterly business reviews, don't you understand? Like, we need results now.
In response, like, it's funny that you go there, because in response, Ortmeier would regularly threaten his colleagues, was just like, don't make me use the clone army.
Yeah, I mean, also fair. Like, do you not realize who you're talking to? I'm a very dangerous man.
Up until the point where in 1999, he accidentally disabled security and 47 escaped. The prologue of the new trilogy takes place in 1999. This is where Diana hires 47 and you do the tutorial on the yacht that we had talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things are still in continuity, but in the new trilogy, 47 has no history, no family, no nothing, and you find out about the asylum or the orphanage later on in the newer games, but like the five dads genetic clone thing is not touched on in the newer games, despite all the references back to it. It's all still like tenuously legitimate, though.
Okay.
So after 47's escape in the older games, the Constant, who is Arthur Edwards, visited Ortmeier, who then created the 48 series of clone assassins. However, these ones, because the shareholders were getting a little uppity, were rapidly aged into adulthood, because, like, traumatic childhoods just take too much fucking time, and I'm already 170, like, what are we gonna do? Other than that, all of the important shit occurs within the games themselves. All the important assassinations, all the twists and the turns and the betrayals and whatnot happen within the series. So that would be cover to cover Hitman, baby.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, I've come away from this wanting to use more one-liners and to get four more dads on the roster. So
Yeah, same. Well, I want a big barbecue. That's
two
what
more
I
dads on the roster.
I want an extra wide. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two more dads on the roster. At most, three more dads on the roster if you want to be Babby and you want to have five dads. But
I want to have five dads. Okay, yeah.
Well,
I could be.
Me and Peter can be dad one and two.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's true. We're older than you.
That's true. Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. I don't want to have kids, but maybe I would want to have kids if I was one of five dads. It's less of a
burden.
Yeah. It's like a business week of dads. You're like, you can be Thursday dad.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point.
Jeb's on Friday because you can kind of get away with doing half days, right?
Yeah. You're the cool. You're Friday dad. I've been your Thursday dad, Peter O'Donoghue. You can find a lot of my other work at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram, or you can come, God willing, see some of my work and see us in July 2022 at the Montreal Comic Con if you want. My publisher has been putting up new work recently on Instagram at Squared Idea. They've been doing posts again. So if you want to follow up on some of the other kind of talented people that I work alongside, go for it. Lads.
Do it, coward.
Other dads. Where can we dad at you?
Get in the Discord. The Discord's been blowing up. We see people getting in every day. We're talking, we're chatting, we're hanging out in there. Sometimes we get into voice chat with big groups and we hang out. More often we just hang out in chats and we can share cool things like Steve MRE 1989 with you or other memes and have a good laugh or just pictures of our animals. How about you got a cool cat, you got a cool dog? Come on, put in an animal lore. And
yeah,
there's something for everyone in this little Discord, and I'd love if you could join. And
you got five dads? Yeah, that's cool.
Five dads? Come show them off. Show off your five dads.
If you have five dads.
We have the five dads text channel exclusively for people with five dads.
If someone has five dads, I will give you your own role within the Discord server.
Don't give them anything. What does the man who has five dads need?
I want it's very fresh. Much looking at Alexander wept as there were no more dads to conquer sort of shit.
Anybody wants to support the show financially, obviously we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/thelore boys, where you can be our patron dad, if you will, our sugar dads in a sense. You can be sugar dad 1 through 5. So patreon.com/thelore boys is where you can find more info on that. We got a couple tiers, we got a couple rewards, and a couple cool things that we can offer you guys, including one of those aforementioned roles in the Discord server that Jamie mentioned.
That reminds me, regarding current patrons, it's our first month with some updates. So if you want to check out some of the new shit that you are entitled to, please let us know.
Yeah, give it a perusal.
I'll just homework check it out. For you. Yeah, we got more. Just if you open it up, you got more free content. We have like over an hour of, or not free content, but stuff you paid for.
paid content.
Yeah, we have like we've been throwing up a little bit of audio each week, trying to keep up on top of that. So there's like over an hour out there now, and every Thursday you get some bonus content that the plebs don't get to hear. So
yeah, we gave you a teaser earlier this episode. It's usually just us talking about bullshit. So if you like that sounds like your thing. Which if you're listening at this point and that's not your thing, God bless you. But
yeah, you've been doing this for 4.5 years. It sounds like it's probably your thing.
But yeah, other than that, if you guys don't trust Patreon, we do have Lore Boys Prime, of course, where we are naturally opening up a culinary school. I do have a creepy basement. Peter's pretty proficient with torture, and Jamie likes sticking peppers up his bum, so we think we've all the fixings for creating well-adjusted chefs for the culinary world. We need sauciers who can fugu a pepper, if you will.
We've got a 5-man grill and a rat for every man's head.
We have a horse piss eggs, which if you're wondering what that is, well, you got to subscribe to the Patreon and listen to the bonus content because it comes from there.
That is that's a lot.
So head on over to Lore Boys Prime. You know where to find it. If you don't, good luck and Godspeed. And make sure to sign up for our culinary school, and we'll start sending out invites to select a lucky 5 to share an apron and be our dads in the near future. I think that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
Out. To death.
To death.
It's like Gordon Ramsay. It's a fucking mom instead of Ron. It's like dad. Like,
that was just, so much
fun. Yeah, dad in an apron. He's got like his like classic like skewered sausage on like the 2-pronged fork. Yeah. A beer in one hand. Thick mustache. Like kiss the cook. Apron, and Gordon Ramsay's like, it's a fucking mum.
The bread keeps the egg away. Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen century eggs?
Oh, I know what those are. That's
the challenge where you have to sit down and eat 100 eggs in an hour.
Yeah, dude.
Korean egg. Yeah. No, those are the ones that are like several years old and have decayed to a point where they can't even rot anymore, and you're supposed to eat it or some shit.
Yeah, they're like pickled, but like I think traditionally they're just like pickled underground. Apparently, I'm on the Wikipedia page now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.